This is wonderful, and so that's a great time for Keiko and me to be back with you all. We have wonderful, wonderful memories. It was a long time ago that we were together, that God's been good, done so many things. And the time that we spent here in Fresno at Sierra View as your pastor were times that God used in a marvelous way in Keiko in my life. We want to thank you for your faithfulness over the years, your friendship, and your support, and your care for us, and your concern for a world. I want to talk to you today a little bit about missions. I hope it's okay. We need a little shot in the arm every now and then. You probably had a lot of shots in the arm during the pandemic, but this would be a different one. The world is in dire need. America is in dire need. People wonder why Jack and Keiko go back to Japan. It's simply because it's part of a world in need. And we can do it. And so we must go. And we'll be returning in another couple of weeks. We'll be back with a little fellowship called Rejoice. We've been going to Rejoice for a number of years now, and we came to Japan to didn't realize that we'd be starting another work. We may start another one, I don't know. But anyway, we were talking one day about what would be a great name for a fellowship. And we feel the Lord gave us the name Rejoice. Because Christians rejoice. And our people don't say we're going to church. They say we're going to rejoice tomorrow. Or we're going to rejoice Sunday afternoon. Isn't that good? We were in Australia at the great Presbyterian Church downtown in Brisbane. And it's a wonderful church. Pastor's a wonderful guy. And when Keiko and I left, he said, "Hey, Jack, come over here." He said, "Do you mind if I start another church if I call it Rejoice?" "No, please do." And he just loved the name, and we love the name. But we're there because we know we fill a place God has for us to fill. And because there is a dire need for people to hear the gospel. And somehow, we have these concepts of home missions, foreign missions, or mission boards. And we don't see the world as a picture of people. We categorize people. And yet they're just needy hearts like you, like we have in America. And whether we are in Japan or whether we're in America, we have to ask God to stir our hearts for a world. And your next door neighbor is just as much a part of that world as our Japanese neighbors are to us. So I see missions as just the spreading of the gospel. And I'm afraid we need to think that we've got so organized. And, you know, I was in Brazil for a number of years, and I never forget a Brazilian pastor who came to me. He said, "Oh, Pastor Jackie," he says, "you Americanos, you do everything by organization." He says, "We Brazilians, We do it by inspiration. And I decided then I wanted to do it by inspiration. I wanted to share Jesus by inspiration. I wanted to share the gospel by inspiration. I wanted to love people by inspiration. My dad was a Baptist pastor. He came to the Lord when he was 19 years old, and my mom, a young married couple. And I mean, he was, what he would say, gloriously saved. Is that okay? Gloriously saved. My dad started sharing his testimony. Next thing you know, he became a pastor. Never had theological education, never went to a seminary. And we boys, you know, he had four boys, and we all went to ministry. So there were five Reverend Marshals one day in our family. And we come home and tell Dad how it ought to be done, you know. And Dad said, where'd you learn all that? And we said, well, we had a class on theology or a class in this class. That. He says, boys, I learned it on my knees. I learned it on my knees with an open Bible that God taught my dad. Well, he's my hero. Dad's gone on to be the Lord a long time ago, but he's my hero. I tell you, from the scriptures, my hero is the Apostle Paul. When I get to heaven, he's one of the first ones I want to meet. Now, I know I'll have to take a number, because I'm sure that we all lined up waiting to talk to the Apostle Paul. And I'm going to take a number if I have to get in line. I want to talk to Paul. And you know what I love about Paul? His passion. If there's anything we've lost today, it's passion. And Kate and I often, I mean, I'm a little guy, she's not quite as old as I am, but we look at the young people and say, where's the passion? And I see in the Apostle Paul, passion to just be what he needs to be in any given situation. If the Apostle Paul had belonged to a mission board, he would have been called home a long time ago. Because they never would have let him do the things he did. And he did them by inspiration. And read the book of Acts. It reads like a, you know, Harrison Ford movie. You can't believe it. The adventure that I see the Apostle Paul going, and he never lost his passion. And my concern this morning as I come to you and just want to talk to you, some other church in America lost his passion. I never want to lose it. Until that day, God takes me home. I want to look a little bit at Romans chapter 10 with you, because it's a great chapter. And it begins with the Apostle Paul talking to his brothers and sisters in Christ. And he says, now my dear brothers and my dear sisters, my heart's prayer and the longing of my heart is that Israel, that my people might be saved. That's the same in your Bible. His heart was so filled with passion for his people. And yet he knew, because later on we read where the Apostle Paul knew that it would only be a remnant that would be saved. He knew that. But God allowed him to have that passion for all of his people, because we do not know whom the Lord has called. And what greater joy then can we have to be the one that God ordains to bring about eternal destiny in the life of your neighbor or somebody, even across the water. You see, crossing the water doesn't make you a missionary. We get all kinds of people crossing the water these days. Doesn't make them a missionary. It's the heart thing. And hear the passion. Hear the passion in the heart of the Apostle Paul. And he never lost that passion. His heart just thrived with love. It started with a love for Jesus and a transformed life. He wasn't always like that. He was a rascal. He just tore up the church. He hated the church. He hated anybody that said Jesus rose from the dead. He hated anybody that said Jesus is the Messiah, that he is God come in the flesh. He hated that message. And he took people and put them in prison, women and men. He stood by and cheered when this young preacher boy, Stephen, was being stoned to death for preaching about Jesus having risen from the dead, and that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus was the Savior, and that there was no way to salvation but through Jesus Christ. And we sit on those truths. And Paul's life was transformed one day when he met Jesus. And what did Jesus say to Ananias when he told Ananias to go pray for Paul? And Ananias said, wait a minute, I've heard about this guy. And Jesus said to Ananias, Ananias, go and pray for this guy because he's a chosen vessel of mine. The fact that God has chosen a people to himself is the most marvelous truth. That our three are, God has a people. God has chosen a people. And why are Keiko and I there in Japan? Because we have a responsibility to tell a message. And we just simply tell a message. I have been in Japan I went in 1953 for the first time. Anybody remember 1953? I went as a young Youth for Christ worker. What Harry mentioned this morning, that I was with Youth for Christ one day. And Harry said, now I tell him I'm with Old Folks for God. That's a new organization. But, you know, there was a world conference on Christianity being held in Tokyo not too many years after the war had ended. The first conference, and somehow this little preacher boy, somehow I found myself on an old converted propeller airplane flying across the Pacific and having to stop twice to refuel before we could get to Tokyo because there's going to be a conference, a world conference on evangelism in Tokyo. And somehow God chose for me to be there. And I was on this airplane with all these hot dog evangelists and everything. Looking at what in the world am I doing on this airplane? And I knew it when I got off the airplane because I fell in love with Japan. And God put a love in my heart. So I can sympathize with Paul. When Paul said, my heart desire, the longing of my heart is for Israel that they might be saved. And that's where we start, guys. We start with a heart of concern, a heart of passion. And his heart just beat for his people. Now, the reason he wanted them to be saved, not so he could put a mark on a chart saying so many people were saved last week, but he was preaching to them because he said he wanted them to know what he knew of the joy of the Lord and the forgiveness for all of his sins, and the fact that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus was God, and that Jesus had come to earth, and that Jesus was nailed to a cross on a hill called Calvary. They put him in a tomb, and he rose again, victorious over sin, victorious over death. And 40 days later, he ascended into heaven bodily, and these guys were standing there watching him go. And the angels came and said, you men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up like that? The same Jesus is coming back. And I want you to know that Jesus is real and alive, and there's a man in the heavens today, and he represents you and me before the Father. Because we are his chosen children. He's chosen us to be his very own. Passion, it was there. Never lost it. Don't lose it. If you don't have it, ask the Lord for it. You see, we become so accustomed to these things. We become so accustomed. I don't know. I'm an old guy. You know that. But I just don't want to get accustomed to anything. I don't even want to get accustomed to Keiko. I want to keep loving her because she's so special. I'm not going to take her for granted. And I'm sure not going to take Jesus for granted. Every morning I wake up. And, you know, I love Christian music. And I sit there and I listen to Christian music and talk to the Lord and just thank the Lord. Lord, I can't thank you enough. I don't know why you're keeping me alive at 93. Every time I pick up the newspaper, somebody in their 80s dies. I read the other day, somebody in their 80s died and asked Keiko, what did he die of? She said, well, the paper said he died of old age. I said, help. I just want to keep alive until they die. And we're having a wonderful time serving the Lord. I want you to know that. And we love you guys. We love you because you've helped us. But I want you to know that crossing the water never made a missionary. People cross the water every day. It's what's in the heart that says, I love people because I want them, along with Paul's prayer, oh, that they might know what I know. Oh, that they might know the Savior. Oh, that they might be saved. Saved's a great word, you know. Not a Baptist word. We think it is, but it's not. In the PCA, the PCJ, I get lost in all these letters sometimes. You know, we've been with the PCA in America, the PCA in Australia, PCJ in Japan. I don't know what PCA I'm with. But I love it. I love our fellowship. And I love our people. Because Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he said, those whom God has predestinated, he has called, and those he has called, he has justified, and those he has justified, he has glorified. Well, you wonder then why, if God has called these people, where are they? Well, I tell you what, he knows what he's doing. And he called the people unto himself in Japan, and there is a people in Japan. There are more Keikos out there. We have to be there for those people to share Jesus. And that's why we're going back. And that's why we are in Japan. Simply, we can share Jesus with our lives. We can share this glorious message. So Paul describes this a little later on in that chapter. And Romans 10 and verse 9 is just one of the great verses of the Bible, that if you believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus, that God hath raised him from the dead, and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. And that's quite simple, and it is, but you know, only as the Holy Spirit reveals that truth to your heart. That is not understandable, for the natural mind cannot comprehend the things of the Spirit. They are spiritually discerned, and Keiko and I are totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit to bring about salvation in the lives of our people. But greater joy can you have? I think R.C. Sproul writes this in one of his books. And what greater joy can you have than to be that conduit that God uses? But listen to that. All you have to do is confess Jesus, that he is Lord and he is Savior. And you think that's easy? Not for a Japanese. That's the furthest thing from a Japanese mind, that he would ever say such a thing. There is no way he can say that unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to his heart. No way. The smartest Japanese, the most religious Japanese, will not understand, and he will not believe in his heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. You know, some years ago, I was in Taipei, and they had a great celebration because they were bringing in Buddha's tooth. And everybody was there to see Buddha's tooth. And I mean, people lined up around the block. And they said it was authentically. Authentic, is that the word? Buddha's tooth. And I thought to myself, they'll never find Jesus' tooth. Because he's in glory. And he has a mouthful of teeth because he is human. And because he was my Savior and he lives in the heaven, they'll never know Jesus that way. And we have a man in the heavens who is just as much alive as the person sitting next to you today. Jesus is alive. Understand that. Don't get boggled down in committee meetings and organizational structure. Sometimes, you know, we're more interested in organizational structure than we are spirituality. That's ridiculous. This is a spiritual thing we're talking about. We're talking about being representatives and sharing the gospel of Jesus and the Holy Spirit taking what we share and driving it home, revealing it to our heart. And we have a believer in Jesus Christ and God builds his church. And God said this, Jesus said it, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But we can understand Paul's passion, but we also understand the gospel. And we also understand that God has a people and he died for those people and those people whom he died for will come to faith in Jesus. We know that and we believe that with our hearts or we wouldn't be in Japan tomorrow. That's where we are. Now, Paul asks a few questions. I'm having to do this because I don't see very well. Y'all look so good to me. I don't, your lady stayed so young, I don't see a wrinkle. I don't see too well, so I just have to do this in mind, so bear with me. But then Paul asked a few pertinent questions, and we've used this for missions over the years. He said, okay, let me ask you a few questions then. How then will they believe in somebody whom they haven't heard? Good question, Paul. You see, God uses men. God will use you. You're the only vehicle that God has. He uses us to be that vehicle. And the reason they believe, because we've been able to just simply share the love of Jesus. That's missions. You'd be surprised. No, I don't think you would be. You've heard enough. But you'd be surprised at the gimmicks that people pull off in the mission field trying to get people to come to hear the gospel. We don't need gimmicks. We don't need little tricky parties or dances or anything else to bring people. We need the power of God at work. And God works, and God has promised he would work. And I want to I'd make a promise to you, Jack and Cake will never use gimmicks to bring people to Jesus. We just simply are there, and as we are there, the Holy Spirit reveals himself through us and touches lives. And we become a vehicle to bring truth to the hearts of our people. So Paul said, okay, how will they believe if they... if they don't hear it, how will they hear without a preacher? And he really did, that word really is not preacher in there. How would they really hear if somebody tells them? So we have a responsibility simply to share the gospel. And I know that's not easy to do, but ask God to open up the doors. Ask God to bring people to your, cross your path. Ask God to use you every morning you get up. You don't have to be running to chase people down the street. We've seen people chase people down the street trying to make converts. Or we've seen them, you know, having English classes all over in the missionary, you're just teaching English and nobody comes to Jesus. but they get people in their English class. And they get this and they get that. You know, they're all trying all kinds of things. I guess this is comes with being old. We just see it differently. But I just want to share that with you, that we do see it differently. And they wanted to share it with you because I would love to see this church become part of the world. Not saying we sit here in America and we have our little committee meetings and we decide how much money we'll send over there and how much we'll do this, how much we'll do that, you know. Come on, get with it. Get excited about it. And you know, when you get excited about sharing Jesus with your next door neighbor, missions is going to feel it out there. We're going to feel the vibrations out there. But you see, God has his church in Japan, people just like you. If I could preach to Japanese, I'd preach the same message to the Japanese this morning that I preached to you. Because I want them to know the joy of salvation. I want them to fully enjoy all that God has done for them and all that is theirs in Jesus Christ. And it makes no difference what color their skin is or what language they speak. Red or yellow, black or white. It's the church. God has a mosaic church and he sees the church as the church. And it just happens that Keiko and I have the joy of being out there and you guys have to stay home. Sorry for you. But we need you. We need each other because we learn to pray for each other and to share in each other's lives and to encourage each other. But what you're doing here is just as important as what Keiko and I do in Japan. Because we are those whom God has sprinkled throughout. Have you ever heard this verse from 1 Peter? Sanctify the Lord as God in your life, and then be ready to give an answer to every man who's going to ask you the reason for the truth and for the hope that lieth within you. Isn't that good? You sanctify the Lord God in your life, and then people are going to ask you what's so different about you. That's what Peter said. Now, I could go on, and the older I get, the longer I preach, you know. And I try not to preach too long, but that's hard not to. But I'm going. I want to close with something that's really special to Keiko and me. And we have a lot of friends in Taiwan. You know, Taiwan is in the news, and I hope you're praying about that situation. Because China really wants to take over Taiwan. And we have some wonderful, wonderful Christian friends in Taiwan. I want to tell you something that happened to Keiko and me. It illustrates this point. That's not just the American church. We are the church. We were invited. We have a family that lives in Taiwan. They originally were missionaries in the Philippines, and then father of the family, he moved them to Taiwan. They became just a wonderful family, Christians. And they've kind of taken Keiko and I under their wings, and we have a nice Keiko goes back and forth. You know, I can't do any messages. I'm sorry for not writing you, but I can't see the letters. But he gets letters, you know, from this man. So they invited us to come to Taiwan and say, if you guys come, we'll pay for your way. And we just want you to relax. We know you guys are working in Japan. You just come and relax. Well, we went to Taiwan just to relax, and we got in this hotel. And then we talked to the family. And the family has one of the girls married a guy by the name of William. Well, William doesn't know what it is to relax. And he loves Jesus. And he said, would you guys be willing to get up for a 6 o'clock? You know, meeting in the morning at our church. And he said, I'd like you to speak to our young people. And we said, well, you know, we never refuse. And we said, sure, William, we'll do it. William comes, he's just all the glory, picks us up in the morning, takes us to church. And here's this great church in downtown Taipei. And we walk into a room. It's probably about three times the size of this auditorium. And there were rooms all alongside. And it was a literal beehive of young people just running all over from one class to another and you know, Chinese, it's noisy. And the whole room was noisy until finally everybody got in their class. And then William said, I'm going to take you to the class where I want you, or you and Keiko are scheduled to speak. He took us in this room, and here there's about 50 of the most sharp young people you ever saw in your life. And they all welcomed us, and then told them we were from Japan, and that we were going to share with them about the ministry in Japan. And we shared with these. First of all, let me tell you, he said, well, who are these kids? He said, these are young people who are studying how to relate their faith to the workforce, and they will enter the workforce in Taipei to share Jesus into the workforce. Great. That's a wonderful piece, William. Well, Keiko and I spoke, and then the pastor for this group got up and said, now, we want you all to pray for Japan, but what I want you to do is remember Jack and Keiko. So Jack and Keiko, this is before the pandemic. So Jack and Keiko, you stand there, and I want you all to line up in the aisle, come up, and you give Jack and Keiko a big hug and tell them that you're going to be praying for Japan. And those kids, for the next 30 minutes or so, we have never been hugged like that. We have never had so many tell us that they'd be praying for us and that they know how hard it is to work in Japan. We don't have many Christians in Japan, but oh, how they'll be praying for us. And we come out of there walking 10 feet tall. That's Taiwan. Never happened in America. I want you to know that God is at work in our world. And Taiwan is a wonderful country with a lot of Christians, and they've had the history of Christians. We have many friends, and we pray for Taiwan that will continue to be free, that the gospel will continue to go across Taiwan. And the churches have, in my lifetime, Taiwan had about 4%, I guess, if I remember last time I looked Christian. Now they've got going on 20. The church is literally booming in Taiwan. So just know this. God is at work, and he is building his church just as Jesus said he would do. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And while you and I sit here on this Sunday morning, as the clock turns, literally millions of people are gathering together to share and to sing and to challenge, and then they're going out to share Jesus with people in their name. That's mission. That's my concept of mission. And I'd just like you to join us. Join us in heart and soul and mind. Be a part of God's great victory. I once heard Donald Gray Barnhouse. Anybody remember that word, that name? He was a Reformed pastor from, I think, either Washington or New York. Donald Gray Barnhouse. He came to Japan one time years ago. And he had just come from a Muslim country. And you know, he said that the girls called him. They said, oh, Dr. Barnhouse, you think we're not doing anything because we don't have any Christians to show you. He said, I set those ladies down and I said, ladies, who are you to tell God how big his church should be? He said, you're chosen to be faithful in presenting his truth, and God will build his church, and you never forget it. And I'll never forget that. That just started me as a young missionary, but built something into my life because I know God is building his church. So join us, heart, prayer, and most of all, you know, don't just do that, but most of all, catch the vision in your own heart. We still have a slogan, one mission I worked with, that every heart without Christ is a mission field. And every heart with Christ is a missionary. Be a missionary. Let's pray together. Father, we're so excited about all that you're doing. Forgive us, Lord, for looking down instead of looking up. But we do keep our eyes focused upon you. And in spite of the difficulties, and you know them, and yet your grace is sufficient. And we're honored, along with the Apostle Paul, to share your truth that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is God, came to this earth to die for us, and that he lives. And we have a living faith and a living God and a living Savior. And you're building your church and someday, Lord, and it looks like it's going to be soon, you're going to call your church unto yourself. And what a joy that will be when your face we shall see. We love you, Lord. We love you so much. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.